All right, we are going to be in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke today. We're actually going to start off in Luke, read a passage there, and then go to Matthew. So we're going to be moving closer to the birth of Jesus, okay? And so on Wednesday night, that's Christmas Eve, right? We'll hit the last one here. But I've entitled the series Good News for our Advent series. So we looked at Genesis 3, the first one, good news promised. And then we looked at good news explained. That was looking at the book of Isaiah and how many prophecies referred to Christ in the book of Isaiah. And today now we've shifted to the New Testament, looking at the good news anxiety. What's all that about? Good news anxiety. Is Christmas ever an anxious time? It can be, can it? It can be. You know what? We don't know exactly when Jesus was born. The chances of him being born on December 25th, I don't know, maybe we're close. But I know it was a pretty anxious moment for Mary and Joseph, and it is also can be kind of anxious moments for us at times too, with all that we have going. Advent is a term I really like. It just refers to Christ's first coming. All right, it actually means literally coming. And it also then has that aspect of also his second coming when he comes back for his church. So I like that term Advent, and it's more of an Advent season, so it prepares our hearts. That's just not one Sunday, one day. It is several weeks that we can focus in on what Christ did for us. All right? All right. So how many like good news? Yeah, okay, most of you. All right. Good. I like good news too. Kalina doesn't. Kalani doesn't know if she likes it or not. So, all right. But you know, in our culture, it's usually the bad news that grabs the attention, right? And you turn on the news, and it's bad, 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 bad. Oh, we're gonna throw a little good news in here at the end. Why? Because it seems like the bad news tends to attract people more and gets more viewers, unfortunately, right? And we don't celebrate the good news. And you just think of what's happened in our news here the past week or two. You can probably go through the list of some of the tragedies that have happened and unfortunate things. But I think there's been a lot of good things that have happened too, right? But we don't hear that. Well, there's good news in God's word, and that's what we're going to focus in on this morning. But you know what? Good news can also lead to unfamiliar territory. And often we can worry about the unknowns, right? Don't you wish that you could always know what tomorrow held? Maybe you don't. You know what? Just think about it over your life. If you'd have known all the things that have happened in your life, some of the things you would have said, no way, I'm not getting up today. I'm not going outside the house, right? And yet God has been faithful. He's walked you through some of those things. And so that's what we're going to look at today. So before we do, let's just bow our head in prayer, and then we're going to dive in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is able to guide and direct us and draw us closer to you. Through it, Lord God, we can know the plan of salvation. We know of your love and faithfulness to us, the promises that are there. And so, Lord God, as we study it, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come, make it come alive for us here today. In these moments we have. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at Mary and Joseph. So we're going to begin kind of in chronological order. And so we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1 through 38. Okay? And then we're going to jump to Matthew. All right, y'all there? All right, I don't hear any pages rustling because you're using electronic versions, right? Rustle some pages for me. Help me out. All right, there we go. Okay, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so who was Elizabeth? Yeah, cousin, right? And she was pregnant with who? John the Baptist, right? So in the sixth month, okay, she has three more months left, right? God sent an angel, Gabriel. He's one of the big guys. He is one of the, you know, Gabriel, he's top of the line, right? He sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, okay, in the north part of Israel by the Sea of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Okay, and so you got the lineage there. We know that the Messiah would be born to the lineage of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." That's a pretty cool thing for God to say of you, right? That you're highly favored. If we could all have that said of us. "And the Lord is with you." Okay, that's a good thing to underline there. Verse 29, I have a feeling that Mary would recall these things in the different moments of Jesus' life and the time that she had him. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled, so you can underline that, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this would be. Greatly troubled. I have a feeling if Gabriel walked into our room, into our house, we would be greatly troubled as well, right? Verse 30, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid," you can underline that, Mary, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So in Isaiah, we talked about how the virgin would give birth to a son, and even just that connection with David. Verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Good question. Verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one, Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So there was going to be a supernatural conception there. Verse 36, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Okay, a prophetic word there. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. All right. Now go to the Gospel of Matthew. So go back a little bit. First book of your New Testament. Chapter 1 again. Starting in verse 18. Now we're going to take it from Joseph's perspective. So Mary finds out she's going to be with a child, Savior of the world. You know, that's not big news, is it, right? And it would be a supernatural conception. Verse 18. Now Joseph finds out. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." So that aligns with what Luke records. Verse 19, "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." All right, so they had the term to be engaged, but for them back in that day, it was a little bit stronger of a commitment. We can get out of an engagement a little bit easier than them. For them, it was basically a done deal. They hadn't come together as a couple, but it was basically you had already signed on the dotted line, all right? "And because she was pregnant prior to them coming together intimately, Joseph said, you know, she must have been intimate with somebody else, and therefore because he loved her, he was going to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, "But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So we kind of get an idea of what Jesus, the name Jesus, means. Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son. You'll call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So Isaiah 7:14, we touched on that 2 weeks ago. Verse 24, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus." Amen. So what do we learn from these two accounts? We see one from the account of Mary and one from the account of Joseph, right? Well, here's the first point. I'm going to give them to you up front. First of all, the unknown creates anxiety. Often does. Maybe it doesn't always, but I think it often does. We want to know what's going to happen next, next, next. The unknown scares us at times. It was good news that Jesus, the Savior of the world, was going to be born and that Mary and Joseph were going to play a key role in that. Woo! That's pretty exciting, right? They were highly favored God. But it would really, literally change the course of their life, the trajectory, right? Their life was going to look a whole lot different than maybe what they had thought and had planned out. You know, I don't know what Joseph had plans for, but he probably had, you know, we're going to get married, I got the house lined up, and this is what my life is going to look like. And it probably didn't involve a trip to Egypt. It probably did not involve trying to escape Herod, right? Baby being born in a simple manger in Bethlehem probably didn't include any of that. It was good news, but it would literally change the course of their life. You know, in Mary's song, it's recorded in Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55, you can see the excitement as she says that she was so honored to be the mother of the Son of God. And it's just it's a hymn of praise to God. And she was so glad to be part of it, of God's plan to redeem her people and to redeem us. But you know what? Sometimes good news is accompanied by stressful moments. Think about parents here. Okay, if you're a parent, raise your hand. Remember when you got the news, you had the first one on the way, right? It's exciting, right? It's exciting. We got some parents here that are expecting. It's exciting. But there's also some unknowns there because it's new territory, right? Yeah. And there can be some stress along the way. Or think about the new job, right? You've been offered a new job and you're excited about it, but there's also the unknowns. What is that going to be like? What are the work relationships going to be? What if you have to move to a new community or all those different things? And so I think Mary and Joseph, how would they raise this child? What would people think, especially of the supernatural conception there? How would they provide for him? How would they escape Herod and his threats to destroy Jesus? So there's often tension with the good news and the unknown that lies before us. And that unknown creates anxiety. So anxiety is just a little more elaborate word for what? Fear, right? Fear. What do we fear? The unknown often creates anxiety. But here's the second point. The good news is that God is present with us. So Matthew quotes again from Isaiah and said his name will be called what? Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Yeah. And so we see that in John's Gospel, chapter 1, that the Word would become flesh, He would dwell amongst us. So I think there's that aspect that God would come from heaven and He would dwell amongst us. He would experience our suffering, our joy, our struggles. He would walk where we have walked. He would experience all of that. And so that makes God a little more tangible to us, one that can relate with us. And that's why Hebrews says He is our great high priest. He's the one that is come from heaven, and even temptation, He's experienced that, and thus He's able to help us because He's walked where we have walked. So there's that part of it. But it also means that God is present with us and that we never walk alone. We never walk alone. There's times in life where we feel like we are walking alone, right? Right? Whether it is physically or it is something that we feel that we're facing struggles, we're facing pain and difficulties by ourselves. We walk alone. But the promise is that God is present with us. We are not walking alone. He gets our struggles, our stress, our anxieties, our fears, our suffering, our pain, our joy, our sorrow. God is with us through it all. And God was with Mary and Joseph through the uncomfortable stairs. Think about that. You know, she's pregnant, not married yet. You know, Joseph took her in. So either they assumed, Mary and Joseph, they had this little rendezvous one night, right? People probably assume the worst. I mean, who gets pregnant supernaturally, right? It doesn't happen. And so they had to deal with people's stares, the rumors, the talking, and to keep a good attitude. They had to deal with going to Bethlehem to pay taxes, and while they were there, making that long journey on a donkey, not in a comfortable SUV, right? On a donkey. Think about that if you're a pregnant lady, almost ready to give birth. It probably helped things out, right? No wonder she gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem, right? They get there, they can't find no place because everybody's there, the inns are all. And so, a manger, a barn, simple. I mean, you think about how babies are born in our day and age, right? The sanitary conditions, all that we go through, and yet Jesus was born in these humble and simple. Think about what the stress and the weight that Joseph felt trying to provide for his wife and the child that was to be born. And then they find out, after the wise men come, that Herod was seeking their life, and they're warned in a dream, and they go off to Egypt. Traveling in those days was dangerous, especially just the three of them. And to go all the way into new territory, into Egypt, where they weren't known, probably didn't speak their language. And yet God was with them. But talk about stress and anxiety. That's a lot. But God was with them. He provided for their financially, he provided for their physical protection. God was with them. You know what? The cool thing is that God was with them. And know what? It's a promise that God will also be with us. So I don't know your story always, or what you are walking through and the challenges that you have. But God walked with Mary and Joseph, and he was faithful to them. He will also be faithful to you and the challenges that you have. Amen? And number three, God's presence gives us the courage to do his will. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And because of this truth, we can do what God has called us to do, right? So look at Mary, Luke 1:38, when she gets this, I mean, put yourself in her shoes. She gets, hey, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. Try downloading that and making sense of that in just a few minutes, right? That's a lot. A lot of things racing through her mind, right? Good and bad, anxious. But she says, you know what? I am the Lord's servant. May it happen as you have said. And then you look at Matthew's account of Joseph. He gets the information. The angel shows up. And the instruction was, take Mary as your wife. And verse 24 of chapter 1 says, and Joseph took Mary home to be his wife instead of divorcing her, and followed the angel's instructions. Right, God's presence equips us with the courage to do his will. And I think Joseph probably, once he found out all this, the easiest thing would have been just run, right? Instead, he did what God had commanded him to do. And God was faithful to him. A passage of scripture that has nothing to do with New Testament, but it's Old Testament, but it kind of stood out in my devotional time. It's Proverbs 24:10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. NIV says, if you falter in the time of trouble, how small is your strength? New Living Translation, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. You know what? I think about confidence. That's what I did my dissertation on. And the time that we need confidence the most is in those crucial moments, is it not? Right? And yet that's the time that sometimes it's just, it's gone. And we fail under the pressure, under the adversity. How many times have you melted? How many times have you fainted in the heat of the moment when the pressure was on? It's in these times that we need confidence the most. And I think of Mary and Joseph. They could have failed under the pressure that was placed upon them. It was a lot. And yet God's presence with them gave them the courage. I don't think they had a class. They didn't have a seminar on confidence. They didn't have all that. They trusted God, and God was faithful to walk with them in those anxious moments. And here's the thing. They were not in this position because they had done something wrong. They had sinned. They were in this position because they were highly favored of God. So factor that into your own life. Sometimes you think God puts you in these high-stress moments. It's not because you're doing anything that's wrong. But it's because he's calling you to lead. He's calling you to be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. And leadership is stressful, right? And the question is, are you ready for the big moment? You know, we got the college football playoffs that they just started here on Friday night. You watched the first quarter, who was going to win the game that first game? Oklahoma, yeah. But who won the game? Alabama. There was some leadership that stepped up there and said, hey, we've got some adversity, and they plowed through it, and Alabama won the game. Volleyball playoffs, do they close out today? Is that today? Yeah. I just think of the pressure that's placed on these young men and women at that age. You know, it's televised, it's all that. A lot of pressure. But it's those big moments where confidence is most crucial, right? And like Mary and Joseph, we can be thrown into situations that are bigger than us. Truly great leaders are defined by these moments because they don't wilt or faint in these moments. Rather, they display the strength needed to complete the task. That's true. The cool thing is that God's presence is with us to guide us, encourage us, and strengthen us so that we can face any situation with confidence and courage, fulfilling God's word for our life. With God's help, Mary and Joseph displayed remarkable courage, fulfilled God's will. And courage is not the absence of fear, okay? It is the confidence to keep moving forward even in spite of fear. All right, I'm having the musicians come. You know, stressful moments. You ever lost your kid? We did. Daniel. Yeah, we have a story there in the airport. We had to put him on a leash, kind of. And that's probably not politically correct, but we, you know, they used to make those child harnesses that you put. He had one. But think about it. Mary and Joseph are going down the road, and it's kind of like, do you have Jesus? No, I thought you had Jesus. Where's Jesus, right? It's a Home Alone moment, right? Right? Where do they find him? They find him in the temple. He's 11, 12 years old. 12 years old, I think. Stressful moments. Man, if you've ever lost a kid, right, for a moment or time. Yeah. You know, God walked with Mary and Joseph through those times. And it, as we read this, it reminds us that God also walks with us. I sometimes wonder how many God dreams never happen because we faint or people shrink back from the task that God has called for them because the calling seems too big for them. And I often think that if the dreams that you have in your heart can be accomplished by you, they're too small. I often think that God calls us to things that are bigger than us, so we reach out to him, we seek him, and we have to trust him. Right? And in the case of Mary and Joseph, it's kind of like they were good people. They walked with God. They followed God. I believe they were just religious and devout. Because of that, God says, hey, these are the people that I'm going to entrust my son to raise him. But that was asking a lot of two people. I was asking a lot of them, especially with the other things, the flight to Egypt and wise men showing up on your front doorstep, the humble birth, all those different things. But I know that the unknown does create anxiety, but the good news is that God is present with us. And His presence then gives us the courage to do His will. Today, tonight, tomorrow, this week, in the years to come, His grace, His mercy, His strength is enough for what He's called us to do. It was for Mary and Joseph, and it's going to be for you. You say, but Pastor, it's just too big. No, it's not. God's in it. He's going to provide the way, and He's going to give you the strength to do it. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. You know what? Mary and Joseph, they didn't faint. I think they're good people, but they also trusted God. God took them through. Amen. And if you have fainted in the day of adversity, you learn from it. They say, God, I need your help. I bet if you look back, you were trusting yourself too much, not God enough. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I always lead us in a prayer of salvation, and I'm not going to let today be any different. But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, maybe you've been in church, maybe you've heard it, maybe you've trusted Him at one point, maybe you're not where you need to be today, whether you're listening online or here. And so I'm going to encourage all of us today just to make that our own prayer. It's not magical. But if we mean it with all of our heart, I believe God honors it. And it begins the journey for us to walk with Him. And so let's pray together, saying, Dear God, come into my heart and my life. Forgive me of my sin. And be my Lord and Savior. And walk with me each day of my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, I pray you would be with each one of us here today. Thank you that you sent us your Son, and thank you that you walk with us, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And our life may look a lot different than Mary and Joseph, but what I do know is that each life has joys, it has struggles, it has sorrow, it has difficulties, it has unknown things that are there. So the events may be different. The time and the context may be different, but what is not different and what is true with Mary and Joseph is that you walk with us and you are present with us and you will give us the courage and the strength that we need each and every day to do your will. Hallelujah. Would you sing that Christmas song, Little Town of Bethlehem? It talks about the joys and the fears of this world. And let's worship Him together.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee light above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent songs go by. Yeah.
Father, this morning we pray that you'd go with us into this Advent season. May you be lifted up. May you be glorified, not only within our homes and our families, but in the lives that we connect with and rub shoulders with, Lord God. May Christ be evident in our life. For some people, it's just a time to gather together with friends and family. They don't have the hope of Christ in their life. And so, Lord God, I believe you placed that hope within each of us. And may we, as Paul tells his disciples, be ready to share the hope that was within you. And Lord, I pray that we're prepared to share that hope of Christ. Go with us into our gatherings. We give you the thanks. We ask in your precious name. So there's these on the seats there, on the tables, or some as you leave. This is for you to remind you, but also if you know somebody that doesn't have a church home, maybe you have several people that don't have a church home, and this is a way we can partner with you. Invite them, bring them out, say, hey, I'll be there. Will you come and join me? And so this is a way that you can come and be instrumental in leading them to Christ. Okay? So grab some, take as many as you need. I think we got plenty. God bless you today. Greet each other as you leave. Thank you.